Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
This morning as we begin, there's so much in my heart, I feel like it's overflowing, so I'm praying that way. That's just coming up out of my spirit or my heart. Your spirit is the part of you that fellowships with God all the time. So I didn't know any part of me did that. Yes, the part of you that lives forever is talking to him all the time. Just sometimes our mind is too busy doing other things to be aware of that conversation. Sometimes our body is too tired to care what's going on in that conversation. And then there are moments where all three parts of us kind of come together and celebrate like today and say, we're going to put him first. And that allows us to hear what's in the heart of God. And Scripture calls it in the New Testament, being in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Of any day that we ought to be able to get the most out of our relationship with God, it would be the day that's named for him. It would be the day that we're celebrating him. So I want you to always, on Sunday, expect there to be a great alignment of order in your life. That God is, because you put him first, he makes everything else kind of fall in order after the moment of celebrating his presence. Sometimes that happens just as we come into the house and begin to worship and we see other believers and we're encouraged. Other times it takes the word of God to speak into our life, and sometimes it takes beyond that. We got to do something with that word that we heard. But God is faithful always to do his word. And I've learned to give him thanks for his faithfulness in my life, because I don't want to miss out on whatever it is that he intends to do for me. Scripture says that we can be awake or asleep spiritually. Well, I would purpose on the Lord's Day to be extra awake spiritually on the Lord's Day. And that's really what we do when we honor the Lord coming together. And that's one reason he said not to forsake the assembling, is because we help each other stay awake when we get together. There's something that happens spiritually. We're all coming for the same kind of reason. We're all coming because in this life we recognize Jesus' presence in our life makes the difference in our faith, what we can trust and believe God for, in our family where we know we need supernatural help, in our health where we're in these bodies that are destined to die and get a new one, and we want them to last and we want to take care of them, and the older we get, the more we call on supernatural help to take care of these bodies, and we recognize, gee, when I was young, I wish I'd known better. And then we have money to contend with. Those are the big four. I put faith out there first, because if it isn't first, the other three will never work the way they're supposed to work. So if God cares about order in our life, then he cares that we get a hold of faith for him to make the difference in everything. So many people that I talk to, even Christians, or I would say I'm listening to them more than talking to them in these conversations, are pointing out their desire to have inadequacy filled. Well, when you study the scripture, that's who the Holy Spirit of God is in person. So much so that in the scripture it says when he comes into our life, he can come with measure. That's when Jesus just comes in to live in your life as Savior and Lord. Or he can come with an overflowing measure when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He is about measuring. He is about filling. He is about overflowing. He is out to, in our life, give us that sense of adequacy that is missing without him. I want to dial back to the Garden of Eden to begin at the beginning, or very near the beginning. Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. Eden means pleasure. It was meant to give God pleasure and Adam and Eve pleasure to live there. And this life was supposed to be about us giving pleasure to God and God giving us getting pleasure from him. That all went wrong. But before it went wrong, Adam and Eve still had something that we have today. They had an inadequacy. When the Garden of Eden was perfect, when creation was perfect, before sin entered the garden, Adam and Eve had a need for fellowship with God every morning. They were made with an empty place that could only be filled with daily fellowship with their Maker. They came to know Him as their Heavenly Father in a way that we don't understand. We want to think that life would be perfect if we never had an inadequacy, but that's a mistake to think that way. Your life is closer to perfect when you know you're inadequate on your own. And it drives you to a place of desiring fellowship with God in the first moments of your day. How we put Him first is we recognize He is filling the gaps in my life, and we understand the quality of the Heavenly Father. He wants to fill them before we get carried away with the day. He wants to fill them before we recognize we're inadequate. He wants to fill us to the point of overflow where we have a confidence in Him, not in ourselves. But we place our confidence in Him and say, today, You will be more than enough for me. You will more than meet my needs according to Your riches and glory. You will do more than I can ask, expect, or think, even in my dream life. You are the one that always does more than enough. And when we put that out before us, even though we experience the challenges of the day that we may experience any given day, we come out from that challenge with more confidence because our confidence is in Him and not ourselves. One of the mistakes we make in learning the Word is we think that we have to be a doer. We have to be performing all of these promises in the Word. To be a doer to begin with, we have to draw on the Lord or we can't do it. We can do nothing without Him that's pleasing to Him. So He meant for us to have this needy place. I'm giving you permission as a Christian to acknowledge you're needy. That kind of like, takes everybody a little bit sideways. What? Yeah. If in the Garden of Eden before sin, Adam and Eve needed Him, we will always need Him like that. The greatest loss they experienced is the need they had for Him went with them when they were kicked out of the garden. But the presence of God was in the garden. What a separation. Jesus came to break down that wall and that partition. And He said, we're going to fill in all the gaps for them, even though they have to live in the earth, that will drive them away from me. I'm going to do everything in my power to draw them unto me. There's nothing, no greater force in your life than the power of God manifesting in your need, in your inadequacy, in your hunger and thirst for Him to make you draw near to Him. Sadly, blessing doesn't drive most people into the presence of God. Hunger does. Thirst does. The sense of needing to be filled does. So with that this morning, I believe He wants to satisfy some hunger and thirst. We have to learn in this life to never give up. I'm calling this so when what you are doing is not enough. I expected to hear in unison, why? You ought to experience that. Why? That's proof of your reliance on God, not proof of your weakness. He created you to be that way, and if you weren't that way, you would not be strong. Our strength comes from our need for Him. Whenever we pull back from that and we think we've got it all together ourselves, we're going to get really in trouble, and we're going to find out what it is to be empty. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, we are blessed by you. This is written to the churches. Written by you in the churches of God by your patience and faith. Faith and patience, that sounds wonderful. In all your persecution and tribulations, that you endure, that you endure, that you endure. Faith and patience, that you endure. It takes faith and patience to endure what? The tribulation and the challenges that come. There's nothing wrong with you and you have the challenges. There's something very right about you. The enemy and the spirit of this world is fighting your success in God. Without the fight, you would be in trouble. With the fight, when you learn how to stand up in the fight, when you learn how to endure in the fight, there's something God's word promises. He will always come through. When you think, well, I've had times in my life where God didn't come through for me, you didn't endure something. See, we have to get it forever settled in our heart that God's word is forever settled in heaven. When we accept that, then we no longer make God our excuse. Then we also no longer make the devil our excuse. He may withstand, he might withhold, he might try to stop some things, but he cannot stop the covenant that we have with. Oh, he couldn't stop Jesus from coming out of the grave. He can't stop something good coming into your life by keeping it in the grave. The devil doesn't have that power anymore. Jesus broke his power. But we don't enjoy the benefit of that power unless we do it in Christ Jesus, you see. We don't do it through wishful thinking or even our understanding of the scripture. We have to do it by believing on Christ Jesus, saying, I'm going to receive this from you and I'm not giving up. I'm going to see the goods. I am not giving up. I'm going to endure. Many Christians want to hear a gospel that gives them the easiest way out. I don't know that gospel. I see that Jesus already won the victory, but I see that the same devil that tried to stop him from going to the cross in the first place is the same devil trying to stop me from experiencing the resurrection Jesus paid for on the cross. Devil's not in hell, he's in the earth for a while yet. We have to learn to have I call it a divine determination. First, with our faith, that we're going to become what God designed us to become, even when we don't know what that is. Scripture says that he has a good, acceptable, and perfect will for us. I think that without using our faith to grow our faith, we never get to the higher end of that. So we purpose in our heart to get God's perfect will while we're here. And know that the enemy will fight that. He wins the fight with most people by keeping them home from church, to be honest. That's all it takes for a lot of people. And I know by nature of what the scripture says, when we don't do what God told us to do to safeguard our future, we are forfeiting our future. So when people don't honor the word that way, and they don't learn how to honor the Lord by putting him first, they are forfeiting God's best. It doesn't mean that his best plan doesn't still exist. It does exist, but it can't happen without us giving God something to work with. In our families, you're believing God to manifest a greater greatness in your family. If you're not believing God for that, you need to believe God for that. That your family has supernatural power and ability being infused into it by the plan and purposes of God because you're honoring the Lord. Every parent wants to believe that their kids are special, but usually parents will not let God put in the parents, that the parents are special too. We have to let the Heavenly Father be the Heavenly Father to us, and then we will be able to be supernatural in our parenting, in our planning, in our speaking out the future, and not giving up. I don't know if you've ever had a dream and then life went the opposite direction of the dream. Are you ever expected your kid to be an angel and he acted like a devil in a certain situation? Do we throw him out? Well, no. What do? We try to educate them. Did you know all the education in the world isn't going to keep them an angel all the time? Every so often they're going to manifest something else. So what do? We say, God, I'm not giving up, and I will keep educating, and I will keep loving, but above all of that, I'm going to keep relying on you, and I'm going to keep telling you, look, dude, You sent their spirit from heaven in the first place. I just gave birth. We were the daddy and the mama, but you were behind all of this. You really were. You know, I wouldn't say you can blame him for being the cause, but you can come really close and say you were in on this. God sent. That we existed in God before we were ever born into the earth. And he knew we needed to be here now. And he knew he was sending the right kids to the right parents, to the right grandparents. He knew all of that. Sometimes we think he got really confused. But he didn't. Our health. Talked about this limitedly. Our bodies, it'll wear out, but we cry out for healing and help. Why? Jesus provided that for us. Why? He wanted us to get the utmost that we can while we're here. And I have a belief, according to the scriptures, that if we're following the plan of God and will of God, the older we get, the more valuable we are to his kingdom. Anybody over 50, you need to say amen. Amen. Half of you didn't say amen. I know there's more over 50 than that. I have a pretty good idea who is. Why do I say that? We need to be reminded that the more we do for the Lord, the more that we live for the Lord, the more we honor the Lord, the more value there is, not the less value there is. We ought to carry the highest anointing just before we go on to heaven, not have it wane and not have the power of God in our life. The fourth thing, and I mentioned it already, are our money. God wants to increase every person. But the devil wants to resist you getting the increase from the kingdom of God. The devil doesn't care if you get it through the world's way. You can go cheat, lie, and steal. The devil ain't going to care about that. He cares about you getting wealth, the blessing of God, without the encumbrance. He doesn't mind you even getting some goods if he can put a chain around one leg. The devil doesn't mind you having lots of stuff, and you can call it being blessed, but if the devil can get you to like that enough to trap you into some bondage, then he will. So what do? There's an art to receiving the blessing of the Lord that doesn't add bondage to our life. And we want to hold out for that. So, Pastor, you don't understand my obligations. This world wants to tie you to obligations. That's the world system. The heavenly kingdom wants to undo those obligations that have become a bondage supernaturally. And wants you to be able to live in a freer way, a freer place, not to go play all the time. I said all the time, you can play sometimes. But to live for the Lord Jesus. To recognize, no, wait a minute. My life is Jesus' time, and I need to make sure I'm giving him what he wants for this exchange. Why, it's a covenant. He enjoys seeing you have pleasure in this life so long as you're putting his pleasure before your pleasure. That's a way to look at your money. Now, I believe the Lord lets us experience inadequacy because it's part of his divine plan. I believe every day when God came, the presence of God came into the garden, they were ready for him. They wanted to know, what's next? What do you want us to do? They were kind of receiving their programming from their Heavenly Father, their training. What do you want? You said rule and reign. What does that mean? You said tend to the garden. What does that mean? What do we do to tend to the garden? I don't think they knew everything. I think that they were asking a lot of questions. We need to do the same thing. The overflow of God for our life depends on us asking him the right questions. He lets us know what's on his heart when we hear his word, and then he wants us to ask questions. How do I do that? What should I do about this? So I see this gap in my family. How should I pray about that? What's my next best move? When pastor's talking about money, well, I'm glad I've come from where I used to be, but I could sure use some supernatural help to not get in bondage because as the family grows and gets older, I'd like to be able to do something more. And we find that all four of these essential elements are all tied together, but they're all connected to faith. And we begin to call out from that place of inadequacy. I want to tell you, the Spirit of God lives there, down here, where that sense of emptiness can come when you're confronting something that you can't fix on your own. Amazing that we have a gut feel for emptiness at the same place we have a gut feel for the presence of God. His presence wants to overrun that sense of emptiness. When there's a fight in our life, this will sound strange to you. When there's a fight in your life, see it as a sign from God. Amen. That's kind of a new way of thinking. I say, well, I don't want God to... He's not putting you in the battle. He wants you to see it as a sign of his presence in your life, because he will never leave you or forsake you. And Israel had good sense that we ought to have. They knew to send the presence of God ahead of them in the battle. That's what we need to do, is recognize the inadequacy is where we start calling on him. And he's going out. What's he going to do? He's going to fight the battle for us that Jesus has already won. But we've got to put ourselves in the right position. Otherwise, we're out on the battlefield and we're taking the bullets. Now, this is verse 5. We're just following 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 for a little while here, which is a manifest token. What is a manifest token? The persecutions and tribulations that you endure are a manifest token of faith and patience at work, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God. In other words, who's God judging? He isn't judging you when you're going through challenges and trouble. He's judging the work of the devil. See, your problem is the devil's doing. Yes. And God's out to separate you from the devil's doing. That's the judgment. So the persecution and tribulation that comes is the battle of God separating the devil, judging him, and saying, get out of there. Leave him alone. You can't mess with him. They're restored to Eden. I let them back in the garden, and then the flaming sword kept the devil out. See, this is a flaming sword. This is the work of the flaming sword in your life. God's no longer keeping you out of Eden. He's keeping the devil out of you. Amen. See, so what do? We acknowledge that, and we say, God's done a finished work for me, and Satan, yeah, turn loose and let go. I resist you in Jesus' name. And the flaming sword comes down and, I think, whacks his ear off or something. I like to think it really gets to him somehow. Why? It's a reminder that it's flaming because his everlasting judgment's going to be in flames of fire. He's got a place created for him. So what's that? That's the judgment of God coming down saying, I'm going to separate the works of the devil from my kids. That's what Jesus did, you see. Now, that you might be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. So the suffering isn't just for you. It's for the kingdom of God. I've learned to look at persecution and tribulation differently. Whether it's against my faith or against my family or against my health or against my money, I don't try to figure it out anymore. I just say, there's a kingdom element here. Satan, you're not going to stop the kingdom of God, and I'm in the kingdom, and the kingdom's in me, and you ain't stopping me either. Right, amen. And sometimes I've got to let that churn for a while, and I've got to, I don't know if you've ever had an enemy, like a bully kind of enemy, and you looked in the mirror pretending you were talking to the bully because you were getting ready to deal with the bully. And then you maybe started working out a little bit more and you started to prepare for your next altercation. That's what you do spiritually in a time of endurance. That's what endurance looks like. So you recognize there is an enemy trying to stop you, but the kingdom of God has been bought and paid for in your life by the Lord Jesus. And he said his kingdom lives in us. That means that he is wanting something to come out in our life that's already in there. and the enemy's trying to suppress it and make us feel like we're inadequate. Never be ruled by those feelings, because feelings will lie to you. You're a higher being than one with feelings. You have a spirit. Your spirit is moved by the truth of God and the Spirit of God, not feelings. Sometimes we have to look past those feelings. Well, that's hard to do. It takes the Spirit of God to do that. The kingdom of God, worthy of the kingdom of God. What does he mean? It means that he's wanting us to be in a position where we can enjoy what he's already done for us. And we have to, you want to think of it this way, you'll pay a price. You'll have to line up by faith. Did you know the life of faith is paying a price to say, I believe in spite of what I see. I believe God in spite of what I feel. I believe God in spite of what I'm being told by other people. I believe the report of the Lord is the good report in my life instead of any other report. I'm going to cling to and I'm going to speak out the report of the Lord, and I'm going to get to where I say it enough that I believe it in my heart, and I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus, and this thing is going to turn and I am not giving up. It is going to happen. I used to think stubbornness was a bad quality, and if you leave God out, it is. But if you put God in the middle of it and you use that, see, your faith ought to have a stubborn determination. Come hell or high water and 500 in an army marching against you, you're not giving up anyway. Why? God is faithful always to perform his word. Always. Now, the enemy will fight against the kingdom way that will bring you results. If you're believing God for healing in your body, many times your body will act up a little bit more. Sometimes the kingdom way includes a health regimen that you'll have to adopt. So I caution people when they're receiving healing that they need to seek the Lord and ask him why they got sick in the first place. Why? Our body is the frailest part of us. Yet Jesus is not going to let it stay behind when the earth is burned with fire. He's going to take our old body out of here then. Why? He cares about our old body enough to not leave it behind to be destroyed with the earth when the earth is recreated. Well, I like that. That tells me he values it. I ought to value it too. But many times we experience sickness and disease because we didn't do what was right in the first place. And we think, well, I couldn't do that. I didn't have the willpower to do it. God's will comes in place here. Understand, there's your willpower, then there's Jesus' willpower. He makes a difference. He makes us have ability we wouldn't have and didn't have on our own. When it comes to finances, I touched on this already, and I'm going to touch on it again. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you that she's healed and whole. In Jesus' name. The enemy tries to stop whatever you want to do God's way. For some who are contemplating a second job, he probably has a business for you to own. So what could I do? The kingdom of God is within you, see. You begin to pray and say, Lord, I want this your way. He can show you something. So, there's some people in here, you're still an employee, and you know you're called to be an employer. Several of you. You need to begin to pray and say, Lord, your kingdom way is greater than my way. I don't see what this transition looks like. I don't have a business plan to know how to do this. I don't know that I have the ability. I don't know that I have any services to offer. I don't know that I have anything. But Lord, whatever it is, you have a way to do this. There's this yearning and knowing on the inside. Here's how it manifests. We have a sense of inadequacy. Maybe a sense of dissatisfaction. We say, somehow I feel like I am meant to be more than this or do more than this. Or we look in the mirror, look at our body and say, somehow I think I can get victory over this. In the same way that we look at our kids and we project it on them. You were born planners, therefore you will be. And we tell them everything that we wish we had fullness of in ourselves. Why? Because somehow we know the potential for greatness is there. And we recognize there's a gap from where we are now and where we want to be. And we're trying to deal with it in our own strength, and we need to recognize it's God that made us have that knowing. If He gave us that sense of knowing, He didn't do it to make us miserable. He did it to give us a sense of Him filling us with what makes the difference. Now, therefore, also, this is verse 11, we pray always for you. This is the work of anybody in ministry, to always pray for the people that subscribe to that ministry to become the fullness of what God has in mind. I don't yearn for you just to be strong spiritually. I yearn for you to be strong in every area Jesus paid for. For Him to be strong in you to what He made you to do. I can't begin to know what all that is. I get to know macro pieces where he gave me His word that He has a number of businesses to start. He's told me that for years, that there are many who are employed that He wants to make the employer. Why? Because of your choices to honor the Lord and put Him first. But He wants to protect. See, we tend to get afraid of what we've not experienced. That's another place where we need His presence. Or we'll be talked out of anything that's ever good. Now, we're praying always for you. Number one, that our God would count you worthy of this kingdom calling. That you have a sense of worthiness. See, this world will squeeze that out of you. God wants to stir it up in you. Not worthy because we're good. Not even worthy because He loved us. Worthy because He's called us to operate His kingdom in the earth. He needs you. Think of it that way. When you think of worthiness, if you try to think of it any other way, you're going to disqualify yourself. Say, I'm not anything, I'm not all. We know we're not anything or all that. Yet He wants us to operate His kingdom. That says wherever the gaps are in my life, He agrees to fill them. He wouldn't ask me to do this if He wasn't going to fill the gaps. I'm going to tell you something about how the Lord really works spiritually. He looks for the gaps for your greatest opportunity to be fulfilled in this life in Him. He looks for the inadequacy, and He says, if they'll trust me there, they'll trust me everywhere. If they trust me there, they will know what I'm doing through them is me working, and they won't take the credit. They'll let me have the credit. If they'll let me in where they're weak so that I can be strong there, they will give glory to my name and my name will be exalted in the earth. God's more interested in making something out of what you know you're not than what you think you are. He loves the gaps. Why? Jesus could have come in some kind of other way to fill all the gaps. I think, I look at God and think, you could do anything. You could have filled all the gaps for all eternity and we wouldn't have had to struggle and we'd be in a new earth. Well, He's going to do that one day. But in the meantime, He rules the earth only by faith, by those that trust Him with their faith. And that's the arena of our great testing. That's how Jesus overcomes the devil in the modern age. Somebody trusts the Lord Jesus to fill the gaps. So many times, and I hear most Christians say, well, I'm giving God my talents and abilities. That's wonderful. That's the easy place to begin. I'm giving Him what I think I do pretty well. That seems to make sense. That seems to be that's what God would want. That seems like we're giving Him our best when we give Him what we think we do pretty well. That's a starting point, but that's kind of soulish. We've intellectualized it, said, God, I'm going to give you my best, and here's what I think it is. When the scripture says our best is like a filthy rag to Him, so that couldn't be our best. Our best has to be the emptiness that we have, that we come to Him and say, I don't know why you picked me, but you did. It will help me if you tell me a little bit about why. And He doesn't like to say why. He just likes to talk about what. I want you to do this. He's not quick on why. I mean, that belongs to Him. Why He wants us? I look at me in the mirror and say, I don't know why. I don't know why you would pick me. I don't know why you would choose to use everything that I think that I'm not, but I'm learning why. That's where He most richly lives in us, when we know it is not us. You want the greatest presence of God in your life? He wants to come in where you know you've not got it together. I'm glad He has that quality. Now, that's the helper. And to fulfill the good pleasure of His goodness. He can't wait to get joy from what He's going to do in your gaps and where you need the hedges. You know what a gap is? It means the wall fell down. It means probably you weren't doing what you're supposed to do, or you didn't have the opportunity you needed to have, or you look back and have regret. If I was going to bring a crane to your house and pull the ball back on the crane and let it come through one of the walls of the house, and you could stop me by coming out and saying, "No, don't ruin my house," wouldn't we want to do that? But when we don't, because we don't know the crane's outside, we don't know that the wall's pulled back, we don't know until the crash comes, then we run out and say, "I wish I could have." And the operator of the crane saying, "Well, you had authority to stop me if you wanted to. But I didn't know you were out there." Well, Scripture says we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. So when we have that empty place and that regret, what we should learn from that and say, "I'm going to learn to live without regret by letting Him fill my gaps, by letting Him make a difference." And we begin to pray and think differently, that God's not out to just use what we think is qualified for Him to use. He would rather start at ground zero. He would rather start using us in a way that we don't think we measure up. He likes that the best. Now, good pleasure of His goodness means there's no badness in it. God's not out with a secret agenda to bring reprimand at the gaps and the hedges that need to go up. Third, and the work of faith with power. What's He most want to protect in your life? The work of faith with the power of God in it. When you think of the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, perfect is the work of faith with power, where you can step back and say, "You know, up until a certain point, I believe that my education, my self-discipline, my opportunities, my management, all of those things were paying off, but I kind of hit a wall." That kind of wall is good. God's saying, "There's a gap here. Let's fix the gap." But when we begin to fellowship with God and we've hit that wall, He opens up something that we couldn't have seen and couldn't have known on our own. So much so that one of the Holy Spirit's names is the one who shows us things to come. He wants you to see past the obstacle that's in your way. He wants you to see that you can't do it on your own, that it will require the work of faith with power. The work of faith with power usually begins with an idea. And then you find another person, probably your spouse, that is your partner in the work of faith with power, because you have to have an agreement with somebody and you look for somebody. And you talk about the work of faith that will require the with power. And you begin to talk about that and dream about that, and it's coming from your heart, so you feel protective of that. You don't want anybody to come against that. You're guarded and careful who you share about that, because it's something that God's put deep on the inside that you think is your great idea, but it's all God's great idea for you. And we start to dream about that and think about that, maybe draw pictures about that or write a business plan for that. We begin to consider, what does that mean and how will this play out in the future? And then God begins to empower that dream because of the work of faith going on. See, the with power comes from Him, but the faith comes from us. He will always meet your faith with power, and His greatest place to do that is in your gap, because He can fill it and we're not in the way. Now, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, that the anointing of God may be glorified in your life, that the glory of God might be elevated in your life, that people look at you and say, "Look what God did with them." It doesn't even make sense. Here's how they should talk about you. It makes no sense to me at all that that would work out for them, because they don't even know what they're doing on their own. They didn't get schooled for that. They didn't get educated for that. They just said, well, they prayed one day and the Lord showed them that. How crazy is that? So you got to be willing to carry the label of crazy when Christ is attached to it. That's what the anointing does, literally, is it makes people step back and go, that makes no sense. Why is it that they got that opportunity? Because the Holy Spirit revealed it. So you should expect God to intervene with what seems crazy to man, but it's not impossible with God. It's entirely possible. Why? Because Christ Jesus wants to be glorified in you. What's the sense of emptiness? It isn't just your emptiness. It's Jesus in you saying, I want to express myself. I want to anoint your life. I want to overwhelm you with something good. See, the still small voice isn't always going to be still and small. When it comes to your future, he wants to shout something out to you, about you, that you didn't know about you. Yep. Now, that Christ may be glorified in you and you in him. Something's going to happen to you when this happens. I believe it takes us from good and acceptable over into perfect. We have a sense of, wow, it's as though he created me to do this for him. That's when he's being glorified and we're being glorified in him. And it gets easier to deal with the enemy. It gets easier to tell our mind to shut up. We've learned how to obey God. To tell our body, you don't dominate me. Be quiet. You don't need what you think you need right now. Thank you for that amen. There wasn't too many in the house right there. The work of faith with power, that means God's strength, power, and ability. An ability that comes from him. Did you know you won't ever be satisfied without experiencing God's ability in your life? He made you to need that. Amen. Beyond your ability. There's a part of you that craves the ability of God. Otherwise, we get stuck in a natural plane and we don't live much differently than the world. I'm telling you, the key to live differently than the world is let him come in like this. Let him fill the gaps and the inadequacies. Here's the biggie, according. Let Christ Jesus be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. What grace? The grace that we let work. The grace that says, okay, I feel really inadequate here, God, but I'm going to yield to you because you're telling me to. Think of it this way. It's the part of your life DNA that's missing. It's the part of Heavenly Father's character that you can't get without rubbing up against him. That you can't receive without spending time with him. It's what the devil stole in the garden in the first place to try to take away God's pleasure from your life while you're here. It's God's pleasure component in you and your pleasure component in him. The thing that makes the difference where you step back and say, oh no, I've learned to live differently and the devil can't tempt me out of it. I've learned to live differently and I've seen supernatural results. Nobody's going to tell me the Holy Ghost is dead today. He's very alive. He's speaking to me. I'm being led by his Holy Spirit. And you just get to where you can't be talked out of God's plan. That's what he wants. What is that? When his DNA gets more complete in us, we become more determined about him. And that determination comes. At first, it's by faith. The grace of God helps us carry responsibility to God. That's what grace is, supernatural empowerment to do the will of God in this natural life. Well, he becomes our partner in the day-to-day things that we're struggling with. He's more interested in that than what you think you're doing right. He's more interested in the gaps. Why? He can make up the whole difference. Why? There is not a person except the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that can do that for you. Sometimes we look to other relationships in our life to fill the gaps and make up the hedges. That's what the world does. And they find no person can do that. They become disgruntled in their human relationships and they break apart. We need to learn something. That our Heavenly Father's DNA comes to us only because of Christ Jesus. And we'll receive it from him. Then we won't look to people to fill the gaps. Help us feel better. Help us think that everything's all right, or tell us we're good all the time. Baby Christians want to be told all the time how wonderful they are. It's because they have not learned to get close to the Heavenly Father who is constantly telling us, you're going to grow up and be like me. That makes you feel pretty good. You just get around, your child, no matter how you tell them, they're wonderful. Think of a little boy, 5 years old, getting ready to go to kindergarten. Daddy's telling him, you're tough, you got what it takes, you're strong, you're going to be just like your dad. The little kid's looking up saying, I don't look like my daddy. I don't sound like my daddy. Well, they probably do talk like their daddy. But they're looking up, recognizing there's a little ways to go here. From where Daddy is and where I am. But they go out of the house feeling really good. They get on that school bus, at least for the first 5 seconds, feeling like they're tough like their daddy. Son, throw your shoulders back. Just climb up in there and get a seat, you know, and hold your own. Okay, Dad. And they get up there. Everybody's bigger than them. They're like walking between those seats. I don't know if anybody else remembers that. Oh, Lord, I remember that. I was a little bitty kid going on the school bus. I'm going to about 3 rows back, and that's far enough back because the kids got bigger the further back. Believing on Jesus releases God's power and ability to help us. We have to choose to believe this about ourselves, that the gap is there by God's design and not because we're defective. That the hedges need to be put up because in this world, only God can protect us from the assault of the enemy. So the hedges need to be up. What are the hedges? More other people's relationships with you, the people you surround yourself with, that you are meant to do life and fellowship with, even among your own house and your own family. That God works through people to surround you with His love. But that can all be right. And if the gaps in you are incomplete and you feel woe begone about you, you got to go back to the starting point, fill the gaps, say, Holy Spirit, other people can't make me feel good about me, even when they're around me and protecting me and all of my relationships on earth are good. I need the greater one on the inside of me to be my strongest relationship. And you help me feel adequate in you because I'm not on my own. If you've ever looked around the dinner table, especially when your kids are young, and think, dear God, how am I going to do everything right? You are not. And when that reality hits you, it's a fearful thing. Oh, dear God, we made this decision 5 times. We have 5 little faces looking at me, or 3 times, or 2 times, or whatever. Yeah, looking at me, and I'm doing everything I know to do and everything I can do. And I go to bed every night, wore out, and I get up every day in third gear. I jump from third gear to high gear every day. And then you know, and that feeling of inadequacy is meant to be filled by God, and He allowed that gap to be in you on purpose, so you'll call on Him. But instead, we want to beat ourselves up. We want to feel bad about what's not going right. When something's not going right, we just need to go to Him and say, you're the one that can help make this right. And you put me here. Look, dude, God, you put me here in the first place. You called me. You wanted me in the first place. I think I need to rely on you to help make the difference here because I'm sure not feeling it today. I don't think I got it all together today. You know what He's going to say? You don't need to have it all together in you. Get together with me. See, that's where it comes together. Now, John 20, 31, and we're about to close this down. But these, the works of the Lord Jesus, the words of the Lord Jesus, are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. John 20 is where it's kind of making a summary in the Gospel of John of everything that Jesus did. So it said, but these, the works and words of the Lord Jesus Christ, are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of God. And once you believe that, that's the key. If you don't believe that He's the anointed one of God to fill the gaps in your life, you won't get any further. Got to believe that first. Believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, is how it's worded in the New Testament. And that believing, you might have life through His name, or the life God intended, God-empowered life, a fill-all-the-gaps kind of life, a up-with-all-the-hedges kind of a life, the Job not before he lost everything, but when everything was made double. See, here's what Jesus did. He didn't just prevent the enemy from stealing from us. He said, I want him to have the double blessing. Why, we're not in the Old Testament church. We're in the New Testament church. We got it twice better than they ever had it. Twice easier than they ever had it. Yet the devil is twice the liar that he's ever been, trying to talk people out of it. Now, that believing you might have life, power to do life, power to do it God's way, to get God's results as God's kid in this life. Did you know God's power is connected to his DNA? God's power in DNA is what fills the gaps in your life. You want the power of God. It's not where you think you're good. It's where you know you're not. That's where you're going to experience the power of God. Why? He's completing that strand in you, and he's saying, no, I made him complete. Word says that Jesus made us complete in him. Jesus put all of that in there that we need. So that's hard for me to believe. No, when you decide to believe that Jesus is the anointed one of God, you'll start to believe that he did it for you. And that anointing rubs off on you, and his DNA gets off on you. And you're not going to get the DNA of God without the power and person of God coming with it. Why? He wants to inhabit your life. He doesn't want to come and go. He wants to forever be there. He wants your God level to increase and your you level to decrease. That's scriptural. Now, what does believing on Jesus look like? It looks like you trust him first to grow your faith. If you don't start there, everything else will suffer. You believe that he's gonna grow your faith to be a blessing to your family. You should want that. You should desire for your family to ride on the high places of the earth, because that's what God says he would do for us. Well, I don't know any God-fearing, God-loving parent that doesn't want their kids to do terrific and tremendous. Why? We tell them all the time, you can be anything, you can do anything, you are wonderful. And we mean it. Why? We see a little element of us, and we hopefully also see an element of God in there. We see an unmessed with potential, an unadulterated little soul that is just ready to soak up and learn. And while they're soaking up and learning, we want to try to override all the negative that's going to come their way. That's how the Heavenly Father thinks toward each of us. Health, with money, I've already talked about that a little bit, probably enough. We have to cooperate with what his Holy Spirit says to do. We have to take on a behavior that he wants us to have. We have to choose, say, well, I don't have any discipline. He does. We don't have to. Here's the wonderful thing. You don't have to be all of that. You are not under pressure to be all of that. I like a covenant that says I don't have to be under pressure. Amen. You know that's not of this earth. That's coming from somewhere else, see? Why? In this earth, you got an agreement, honey. If your name is on the dotted line, the bank is expecting you to pay. If you went to the doctor for services and the bill comes, they are expecting you to. You have obligations. Did you know Jesus took care of the obligations? So we could just choose to, by faith, believe on what he did. Say, Jesus got me set up for this. It isn't really my name, it's his name that's coming in line here. He took the risk out of it for me. All I have to do is be determined and persistent. So that's hard for us to get a hold of. Because you take God out of the equation, you can be as determined and persistent as you want to and still get squashed like a bug tomorrow. What do we have to do? Believe with God, all things are possible to him that believes. See, we got to do our part. And our part says, if I'm a believer, I'm a fighter and I don't give up. If I'm a believer, I'm a resister of the darkness and I don't give up. If I'm a believer, I'm going to run my mouth the right way and I'm not going to give up. People around you might get sick of hearing you talk about all the good stuff. Is there ever anything wrong with you? Nothing worth talking about. Things are moving in a positive direction. God needs something from us to work with. I want to leave you with this, because there's always a part where we have to go beyond willing and be obedient. There's always something that he wants to work with that we have to give to him. We are to be a living sacrifice. That means that we give the sacrifices that he asks for. The only reason God needs any kind of sacrifice from us is because it gives him something to work with, because we belong to him and we're his agent in the earth. So he'll look at us and he'll say, I just need a little something from you. I need a little, he might just need a little prayer to change your marketing strategy. To all of a sudden, mushrooms out of control. You say, how did this happen? Oh yeah, I prayed that prayer. Oh, this must be the power of God. This must be God. He's filling a gap. I was doing everything I knew to do except pray. And when I did that, the lid came off this thing. See, he wants you to learn from what you do right, not what you're doing wrong. He wants you to avoid what you're doing wrong and repent of it. Then he wants to teach you his way through the things that are right. He wants to affirm what's right. Why? When he affirms what's right, we'll recognize what we've done wrong and we'll go, oh, I shouldn't do that again. Sure was better his way. Now, this is Jesus speaking in Luke 6, 37 and 38. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Sometimes we've got to purge judgment out and give that to God. Especially when dealing with family. You want to reason it away. So I know why they're acting up like that because of this and this and this. And sometimes you'll even blame yourself. I sowed bad seed there. I was a stupid parent and I didn't know anything. Welcome to the club of humanity. Stop judging that. Stop judging yourself. Stop judging your inadequacy and judge it according to God's adequacy and say he's going to fill the gaps and make up the difference. And I have to trust him. Because I'm not all that. I can't do all that. God didn't ask me to do all that. He asked me to depend on him. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. What does it mean to condemn, to do away with somebody? I'll not have anything to do with them ever again. Or I tried that giving business, it didn't work. Or I tried that healing business, it didn't work. Or I used to be fed when I went to church, but now I'm not being fed. I don't want to say pick up the spoon. Now, judge not, condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. So I have to be careful to not carry it too far. Instead of hollering at him, pick up the spoon, I need to say, Jesus, help him. Help me bring the right kind of food. We have little Ava at our house, our granddaughter. Pretty often she comes over. She's learning to eat vegetables. She's learning that. She knows the sound of everything opening, even if it's in the next room. She gets animated. She still likes the sound of the formula being mixed up. She still has some of that. But you hear a little the beech nut or whatever, those little baby food jars, something pop open. These are frozen things, I think. But she hears that little seal break. She knows that's her dinner bell. It isn't our dinner bell, but she gets animated. She can tell you what time it is. She's getting ready to have what. And she doesn't. She'll look at it. See, she likes the sweet orange things. I know that, but this one was green. She's looking at that green, smiling, think that's going to taste like peaches. Poor things. You know, they just think it's all going to taste like sweet. She ended up liking those green beans, but it helped when mommy said, you are that to so many people. And you're what we trust him. See for what's right. Now, judge not, condemn not. He says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. He's telling us these are all things that greatly impact our faith and what God can get to us. So we got to give him something to work with. As you consider, and I'm challenging you today, stretch your faith for what God has in mind. Give him what he wants to work with. So he's telling us here what he wants to work with. Now, when Ava eats her green beans, I think she'll be just as excited about that as she is peaches. And I found out her favorite foods, vegetable beef soup, is her favorite. I didn't know they made that, but they smash it all together and I've been told by adults it actually tastes good. Yeah, it smells like Campbell's soup when you open it in the kitchen. That's what it smells like. But what am I saying all this for? Because we've got to give God something to work with, and that's how he works with us. And if we spit it out or make a face and clamp our mouth down, we're not going to get what we need from him. He said if we refuse and rebel, we get in trouble. If we're willing and obedient, we eat the good of the land. Forgiven, you shall be forgiven. Then this real important verse. Given, it shall be given unto you. Say, oh no, here he goes. This is Jesus talking. He put this in with when we give him what he needs to work with. And he's not just only talking about money here. He's talking about not judging, not condemning, and forgiving. When we give him what he wants in our behavior and human relationships, we change the size of the measuring cup. that God uses to pour back into our life. That's what Jesus is saying here. So what do? We better give him what he wants to work with. I call that walking in love, but it's even a little bit more specific than that. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure. That sound good. Yeah. Unless he's measuring back condemnation because I've been condemning somebody. So it works both ways. We want to dish out condemnation. God increases his measuring cup of condemnation in our life and lets it flow into our life. He's not the author of it. The devil is. But he can't hold back the devil from working where we've given the devil room to work, see? When we're not giving God what he needs to work with, we're giving it over to somebody else and he'll work with it. So you have an enemy. You're going to be a product of spiritual forces at work in your life. Give God what he needs to work with and he can do more. Give the devil what he needs to work with, he'll do more. See, Jesus is speaking here. He's telling us a pretty important principle. It shall be given unto you good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. What does that mean? They can give you judgment and condemnation and unforgiveness, or they can give you peace that passes all understanding that really is coming from God, but you are guilt-free. You are not condemned. You are not being judged. You are not being assaulted. Your character is not being ripped apart. Now, for with the same measure, or I'll say it this way, the same measuring cup, the same measuring device, the same dump truck or semi or rail car, I like to think in the terms of rail car, the same measure that you use in this, it shall be measured back to you again. So it isn't just what you give out, it's how much of it we give out. So what do we want to say? God, let all the measuring cups in my life be because I'm forgiving and I'm loving and I'm not condemning and I'm not judging and I'm just stepping back saying, God, work on me, work on me, work on me. That's when he comes with the cups of overflow that we want. Instead of taking a beating with the things that we don't, say, well, God doesn't do anything bad. No, we let the devil, when we pour out the devil's stuff from our measuring cup, we're going to have the same kind of stuff coming back into our life. But when we give out what God says to give, see, we give him something to work with. I want to tell you the passage between frustration and inadequacy to experiencing the life of God always has to do with giving him the seed that he needs to work with. And he'll let you know. Here's how the Holy Spirit is. He's so faithful to let you know. If there's been wrong kind of stuff in your measuring cup, you're already thinking, oh, I need to fix this. I need to say that. I need to get to doing it. Change the nature of the cup. See, here's how you need to understand anointing. The devil has a kind of anointing to pour bad stuff out. That's what he's all about, steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has the right kind of anointing that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The last thing you poured out of the cup, and to the degree you poured it out, says what's coming back into the cup of your life and to what degree. And understand what Jesus taught us about this. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. You wonder why the devil hits you so hard? Be careful what you sow. The minimum harvest in the Spirit's 30-fold. So people don't think about that side of giving. You are God's giving agent. In that you prophesy your own future, whether it be to God's glory or somebody else is taking hold of you and keeping you captive. I want you to stand with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, in this house, you've given us the voice of liberty for this generation to speak words of life, words of hope, words of healing, words that transform us to be like you. Heavenly Father, we know this morning where we have holes and gaps and empty places, you intended that so you could fill it with your presence and your nature. We're not going to be upset about who we were born to be. We're going to embrace who we were born again to be. We're going to take hold of your nature. We're not going to use our circumstances as a reason to justify what we're experiencing. But instead, we're going to say, no, wherever I have a gap, Jesus came to fill the gap. Wherever I need a hedge of protection, Jesus came to be my hedge of protection. Whenever I come together with the body of Christ, I'm not just coming to have my needs met, but I'm coming to help fill the gap and build the hedge for others. I'm going to be an encourager. I'm not only not going to judge, I'm going to encourage and point toward truth and encouragement. I'm not going to only not condemn. I'm going to work to justify others and help them see themselves as Jesus' righteousness in the earth. Father, thank you that you help us to do these things. You're going to help us. Father, I ask right now for supernatural work of forgiveness. Father, as I spoke those words, I felt an impression in my heart. The need to forgive even in and especially in unresolved issues and ongoing problems and hurtful dialogue and disappointing situations that have brought emotional pain. Father, I perceive your desire to fill the gaps where we haven't seen the answer we want to see. For you to bring the reassurance so faith is revived in us. Father, I ask that you minister right now deep, deep levels of the inward man. Your healing power to restore us to a place of full faith, of full expectation on you, and change the words that we say to line up with your desires and what you see us to be. Let us be as protective as you are of your children when we're dealing with our own kids. We aren't going to let anybody talk bad about our kids. And we're going to stand up and defend them even if they're guilty as all get out. We know that's who you are, Father, because you love us. You're going to fight for us, and you did fight for us. Father, I ask in Jesus' name that your peace that passes all understanding come in with your healing power. That your Holy Spirit that leads and guides us into truth will take us to the next step and the next level. The Father, every time we feel inadequate or dissatisfied, we know this is the dinner bell. This is God saying, I'm opening up the jar for you. I've got something in the spoon for you. I'm going to fill the gaps. I'm going to fill you to the point of overflow. I'm going to take away that feeling of inadequacy with a sense of peace that passes all understanding. And it's going to guard your heart and guard your mind while you go through the trials and tribulations and persecutions until the victory does come, because God's a God of victory. And Jesus rose from the dead once. He conquered that grave and he did it for me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the power of God in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you today as you go.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of his love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois 60962, or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.